I ask if you will turn with me to the Old Testament book of Zechariah. And to find that, if you go to the beginning of the New Testament, the first part of Matthew, turn left two books to Zechariah. Zechariah is the next to the last book in the Old Testament. I want to use chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 for a text this morning. Isn't the love of Jesus wonderful? Isn't it marvelous? Isn't it amazing that God would love someone like me? Someone like you? That God would love you absolutely unconditionally and go to the extreme that He went to show His love for us? You know, it's one thing to say, I love you, but God showed it in a way that is beyond anything that man could ever imagine. We were talking about in our class this morning about when Elijah, and I will get my text, I promise you, but when Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal, and they began to call upon their god Baal, and he just wasn't listening to them. I don't know if he was napping that day or on a trip or taking a walk or just was hard of hearing, but he could not hear them for some strange reason. Well, it could be that he is not alive, right? But when he was not answering them, they thought they had to shed their blood for their God to hear them. Now that's what man would think of. But what did God devise? God said, I'll shed my blood for you to have life. That's amazing. And I hope we never lose the amazement of God's grace and His love that He's bestowed upon us. I pray that we never get bored by hearing about Jesus and the blood that He shed for us on the cross on Calvary's Hill. Because that's our only hope, is that Jesus shed His blood for us, and the shedding of His blood washed away our sins, cleansed us by the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And I have to say to you that every time that I've read these passages this week, more and more has opened up. So I'm going to try to keep it as concise as I can to get to the point, to the part that I really want to talk to you about. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. In that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also, I will cause the prophets, and those prophets under consideration there are false prophets. Not the prophets of God, but the false prophets that had gone about prophesying, even as I said about Baal. They prophesied of things that were of this world that absolutely were not true. He says, I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer, please? Father God, we love you. And we love you because you first loved us. And our love for you is really nothing in comparison to the love you have for us. You gave your darling son, your only begotten son. And he went to that old rugged cross. And he laid down his life for us. Thank you. Thank you for the fountain that has been opened up for sin and for uncleanness. And Lord, I pray today that if there be anything in any of us that would be contrary to you, that your Holy Spirit would just sweep through and just take everything away from us, Father, that would be against you, that would be contrary to your word, that would be contrary, that would be a blockage to us seeing the beauty of your love and your grace, that you would just sweep it out of the way. And Lord, that you would just open our eyes, that we would be able to see Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our friend. Help us, Lord. Help me to preach it in such a way that honors you that exalts the name of Jesus, and that it would be in such a way that each of our hearts would be stirred, not by the sound of my voice, but by the faithfulness of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. In that day, there are a lot that will take prophecies from the Old Testament and try to put it way out in the future. I want us to see what that day is that he's talking about here. In that day, he says, there's going to be a fountain that is opened up. Can I tell you that that day took place about 2,000 years ago on Calvary's Hill when Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, when he shed his righteous and his holy blood. In that day, 2,000 plus years ago, this fountain was opened up. We sang about it a while ago. And I hope that as we sing that song, you know, sometimes songs get to be old school to us, don't they? Sometimes we sing a song and never pay attention to a single word that we sing. We want to make sure we get the notes right. We want to make sure that this is right and that's right, and that's well and good. But if we don't hear the words that are in the song, we've missed the whole meaning of it. Excuse me for being personal for just a moment, but when I first started singing in the quartet many years ago, an older gentleman that sang with us at the time, he gave us something. He said, you know, it's good to have harmony, but if they don't understand a word you say, it's just a sound to them. But if you can speak the words in such a way that they hear and understand the words that you're saying, then the message is received. It's nice to hear the ears being tickled with a good harmony, but it's the words that stir the heart. And so this morning, as we think about this, in that day, I want these words to stir our hearts this morning to a place that maybe we've not been in a long time. Maybe it's a place that we need to revisit. Maybe it's a place that we need to go back and just start all over again in that point of time of seeing Jesus as He truly is our Savior. Maybe in that day is today for us. Maybe today is that day when we see this fountain being opened up. Maybe we've never really partaken of the fountain. Maybe we've never really seen the importance of it. Maybe we've never felt the impact of it as we look at this fountain that's opened up. But in that day, there shall be a fountain open. It's not an if and maybe or a hope it will happen. It is a sure thing that in that day the fountain was opened up. It's opened up to the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Well, you say that may not apply to us. That's applying to Israel, isn't it? It's applying to spiritual Israel. And we are all of the house of spiritual Israel. We are in this group that is being spoken about, that this fountain is opened up. If it doesn't apply to us, then nothing else in the Bible applies to us. If that fountain doesn't apply to you, then nothing else applies to you. It's just good words that you might hear that might say, well, that helps me to get through the day. But I'm going to tell you, I need more than just helping me get through the day. I need forgiveness of sin. I need the washing of regeneration. I need the washing of the blood. I need the washing of the water of the Word. I need the cleansing that comes only through Jesus Christ. In that day, this fountain shall be open, and it is now open, and it's open for sin and for uncleanness. How many times have you prayed asking God to forgive you of your sins? If you're like me, it's on a daily, multiple, daily basis. Can I tell you that there's more to it than asking for forgiveness of sin? Asking for forgiveness of sin is just one half of it. This fountain is opened, yes, for the forgiveness of sin, but it's also for the washing, the cleansing that sin leaves in our lives. It's for the washing away of the mar and the dirt and the grime that this world, that we're in rubbing elbows with the world, that it comes to us. Remember in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, I believe it is, he says, if we say that we have no sin, the truth is not in us. So if you think this doesn't apply to you, can I tell you, you're wrong. It does apply to every single one of us. And I pray that our hearts, our minds, our ears are paying attention to what God's Word is saying to us today. It applies to us. If we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. He says, but if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Does that verse stop there? It goes on, doesn't it? And to cleanse us from what? From all unrighteousness. You see, forgiveness is important, yes. But the cleansing is also important. That when that is cleansed from us, if it has been cleansed from me, I can't go back and say, well, I couldn't help myself. You see, it's been washed. It's been cleansed. It's been taken away. In that fountain, yes, it is for the forgiveness of our sins. I'm thankful for that. The washing of the way of the sin is the washing of the blood that's in the heart. The sin that's in our heart, it's the blood washes it away. And for uncleanness, I'm getting ahead of myself. Go back with me to chapter 12, verse 10. I told you, I'm trying to make it as concise, and yet I got so much that I want to say this morning. Chapter 12 of Zechariah, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Again, this is speaking of the spiritual. For us today, it's the spiritual Israel that we are a part of. We are a part of this that's being spoken about. He says, I'm going to pour upon you. I don't want us to see this as something that has already taken place, though it has. I don't want us to see it as something that's going to take place, though it will. I want us to see it as something that's taking place right now in each of our lives as we look at this. God is saying, I'm pouring upon you. You can say, He is pouring upon me. If we don't see it as a personal thing, then again, there's no benefit to us in this. I will pour the spirit of grace and the spirit of supplications. I'll pour the spirit of grace and the spirit of publications. The spirit of grace. I know what grace means in the New Testament, but this is the Old Testament. Grace in the New Testament is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace in the New Testament is God bestowing upon us salvation for an unworthy sinner that had no way out of it whatsoever, no way to change it himself. God did for that which we for us which we could not do for ourselves. But here it says the spirit of grace in the Old Testament. Do you understand grace also applied in the Old Testament? A lot of people ask, but well, what about those people that died before Jesus died on the cross? There was grace for them too. The grace reaches all the way back to the beginning and all the way to the very last one that shall be conceived in the mother's womb, that is of God's elect. They shall be redeemed by grace and by grace alone. He says, I'm going to pour out. I'm going to pour out. I'm going to pour out. Is that a little trickle? Is that just a little dot here and a little dot there? Is it just enough to get us by? Or if something is poured out, is it something that is emptied? If I pour some of this water, then I poured some of it. If I pour it out, what's going to be left inside? Well, for the natural, there's not going to be anything left. But for grace, guess what happens? The more that he pours out, the more is there. Now, I'm going to go with Paul on this one. What shall we say then? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He's not giving us a free license to sin with this. He's just telling you, I've got you covered. More than that, I've got you washed away by the blood. I'm going to pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Israel, of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace. In the Old Testament, I had to look that word up in the Old Testament. It means to bend down. It means to stoop down. It means to come down in kindness upon. I'm going to pour out kindness upon you. Grace is the loving kindness, the loving favor of God. I'm going to pour it out upon you. Not only the spirit of grace, but the spirit of supplications. The spirit of supplication, that's earnest prayer. Have you ever been at a place in your life when you felt like that if you didn't pray? Have you ever been there? If you haven't, when you get there, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you have been there, you already know what I'm talking about. If you have ever been to that place that you felt like, if I don't pray right now, I'm not talking about, Lord, help me. I'm talking about getting on the knees and pouring ourselves out before God. Lord, I can't go on without You. I can't do another thing without You. I can't take another step without You. I can't think without You. I can't speak without You. I can't move without You. I can do nothing, Lord, without You. Guess where that came from? I'm going to pour out the spirit of supplication. Grace and supplication. It's God's grace that brings us to the place that we call upon Him. Now, that being said, keep your place there, but go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, you know, you remember what happened on Acts chapter 2. It's the day of Pentecost. It's 50 days after Jesus has been raised from the dead. 50 days He's shown Himself to various of the disciples. At one point, upwards to 500 people, He showed Himself to be alive to them. On the day of Pentecost, they've been gathered in the upper room. They've been there praying. They're there with one heart, one mind. They're in one accord. I'm going to tell you something. People say, well, this will never happen again. I believe it happens every day if we get our hearts right. When we come together as a church body, as a church family, when we come with one heart, with one mind, in one accord, seeking one purpose, that is to glorify our Lord, I assure you that this same promise will come to us, and that is that I'll pour out my spirit of grace upon you and my spirit of supplication upon you, and you'll begin to pour out your heart, and you'll see a change being made in people's lives when we come to a point where that we're ready to receive what God has for us. Are we ready to receive what God has for us? Are we hungry enough for God that we're ready to humble ourselves and say, Lord, here I am. Whatever You have for me, I want it. Are we at that point yet? Or do we still want to kind of be reserved and pull back and say, I'll do this, but I'm not going to do that? They were at a point they were ready to say, Lord, whatever. Whatever. I'm going to tell you, this fountain will do that for you. You say, well, I don't know that I want to lose control. You better. You better want to lose control. Because as long as you're in control, guess where God's control is? Somewhere else. But when you relinquish control of your own life to the Almighty God, He's getting ready to show you something that you could never have even imagined. He's getting ready to take you into a level that you have not even thought about before, where that you see Him in a way like you've never seen Him before. It's not easy getting there either. You got to lay aside the things of the world. You can't hold the things of the world and get where I'm talking about. It won't happen. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 18. And on my servants, and on my handmaidens. Now what's taking place here is the Holy Spirit came in a way that had never been, the first time He had ever really been manifested. Said that it came as a mighty wind, came and sat upon them as the cloven tongues of fire. They began to speak in ways that they had never spoken before. I don't believe it was a gibberish either. I believe it was in languages that they weren't learned in. In other words, those that were from Israel were speaking Greek all of a sudden and had never been taught Greek before, except the Holy Spirit taught them that. Some of them looked at him and said, "These men are drunk." And Peter stood up and said, "Oh, no, 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 no. It's too early in the morning even for that. Let me tell you what's taking place right now. Verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit. What Spirit? Of grace and of supplication. Of grace and of supplication. Grace was being poured out in this place in a way that had never been experienced before. Now, they were already children of God. They were disciples of Jesus Christ. But they were being taken into a realm that they knew nothing about until this day. And it was a day that was going to change their life forever. Maybe that's my problem. Maybe I don't want my life to be changed in a way like it's never been before. Can you identify with me on that one? I'm happy where I'm at. I'm not talking about a geographical location. I'm talking about my spirituality. Oh, I'm happy where I'm at. I go to church when nothing else comes up. I'm there. I listen to the preacher sometimes. I listen as they sing the songs. I sing every once in a while. Oh, I open my Bible and I read along with him unless something else catches my attention. And my attention flies out the window. I'm going to tell you, when God pours out His Spirit upon you, things change. Things happen. You can't stay the same as you are when God's Spirit is heavy upon you. You can't do it. He says, I'll pour out my Spirit upon you. And they shall prophesy. You mean we still prophesy? Can I tell you what prophesying is in this day and time? It's speaking the truth. It's speaking the truth. When you read the Word of God, you're prophesying. You're speaking the truth. And that's what prophesying is. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Do you know what would happen if in this nation the Holy Spirit would make a movement across this nation like He did in the days of Nineveh? Do you know what would happen? I'll tell you what would happen. The ball fields would empty and the churches would fill. You're asking me to give up too much now. I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're here and they're not. But I'm going to tell you, when the Spirit of God moves in us, you want more. You can't get enough. You want to know more about Jesus. You want to be closer to Him. You want to walk closer to Him. You don't want to do anything that's contrary to Him. Does that mean that we don't ever fail anymore? No, it doesn't mean that, because we're human. But thank God there is a fountain that flows with blood filled with from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. In that day the fountain shall open. We have that fountain today. It's not something we see with our eyes, but it's in our hearts. I show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass. Remember, he said, I'll give you the Spirit of grace and of supplication. Earnest prayer. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you can talk about me anything that you want to after this is over with, but I'm going to tell you something. I spent 30-something years trying to explain what that verse does not mean, and the whole time trying to explain what it does not mean, I failed to explain what it does mean. It means that if you have a need, you call upon the name of the Lord, and He'll save you. Save me from what? Whatever you need saving from. He'll save you. He'll deliver you. It's the power of God unto salvation. Do you believe it this morning? Do you believe that God has power to save? Do you believe that God has power to change? Do you believe that God can turn around situations and circumstances and lives? Do you believe it this morning? I believe it. Do you remember what I said 2 weeks ago about the word believe out of Isaiah 53? Which says, who hath believed our report? And that word believe in the Old Testament means to shake hands upon. Have you shook hands with Jesus? I asked that question 2 weeks ago. Since then, have you shook hands with Jesus? Say, Steve, you're getting a little bit personal here. Yeah, I am. I'm going to tell you what I've been dragging the ground all this week. It got personal with me before it ever got personal with you. Have you shook hands with Jesus? If so, going back to Zechariah now. If you have, here's the next question. Did you notice anything about those hands? Did you notice anything at all about the hands that were different? I'm going to Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6, but while you're turning there, I admit to you, I had it so easy growing up. I have nothing to complain about my youth. But every once in a while, a few times, I would be asked to help some friends put up hay. Now, in East Tennessee and I guess North Alabama, it's a little bit different than what I see around here. Back then, it came out in bales. And each bale weighed maybe 50 to 75 pounds. And you'd walk along behind a trailer and you'd pick it up by the string that bound it, and you would throw it up on the trailer. Somebody would be on the trailer and they would stack it on the trailer. Then you'd take it to the barn, then you'd throw it up in the barn, and somebody would be up there in that hot barn and they would be stacking it in the barn as you threw it up there. And that would go on all day. And at the end of the day, sometimes I'd look at my hands and I'd have blisters. Every once in a while I'd have a blood blister. And I'd look at those hands and I'd say, that hurts. But I did it to help a friend. But you know, in my helping my friend, it didn't change their heart in one bit. Something that I read several years ago. I know you're familiar with this, the bust of the praying hands. Have you ever noticed those praying hands? Specifically the fingers on the praying hands? There were two young men, and they were artists. And I'll go fast with this story, but I'm going to bring it down to a close, I promise you. They wanted to be artists. They were talented. They wanted to go to art school. They were the best of friends. But they couldn't afford for both of them to go to art school. So one young man said to the other, I tell you what, you go on to art school, I'll work. I'll pay your way. And then when you're out, I'll go to art school and you pay my way. So they did. They agreed on that. He went to school. The other young man started doing work that was so hard. Tedious work. And at the end of the period of time, however long it was that the other one was in school, he came back to his friend. He said, I'm finished with school now. I'm doing pretty well as an artist. I'm going to pay your way. And he looked down at the hands of his friend. His friend's hands were eaten up with arthritis because that he had worked so hard to pay his way to get through school. The next time you look at those at that statue or little bust of praying hands, you look at the knobby fingers. Because the man who went through art school said, I can't do anything to change it, but I'm going to do something so that everyone will remember what you've done for me. And that is, you gave yourself for me to be an artist. Have you shook hands with Jesus? Have you looked at His hands? Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Are we too busy looking for blessings that we fail to see the hands of the one who had nails driven through them? Not that we would just have a good life, but that we would have life. Have we looked at those hands? Have we been too busy to to really inquire, what are those wounds? I see them in your hands, but guess where else they are? They're in His feet. They're in His feet as He walked to where you are. Guess where else the wound is? In His side. Remember at the end of the day, it was getting close to the Sabbath, and they could not leave them on the cross when the Sabbath began. So they went to one of the thieves that was on one side, they broke his legs and he died. They went to the other thief, they broke his legs and he died. They came to Jesus and he was already dead. Because it had been prophesied that not one bone of his would be broken. He laid down his life before they broke his bones. But to make sure, go figure, for them to make sure that he was dead, the Roman soldier took his spear and thrust it into his side. Do you remember what came out of his side? Blood and water. There in that day there shall be a fountain that is opened for sin, that's the blood, and for uncleanness, that's the water. Those wounds in his hands, they changed my heart. I'm still a work in progress, but they changed my heart. They have brought me into a place where that I want to see more. I want to be closer to Him. I want to feel the touch of His hands around me, His arms around me, His hands upon me. I want to know that blood has changed my heart, and that water, the blood changes the sin nature, and the water changes those daily transgressions that we come against Him every day. Have you ever sinned against God? If you haven't, then I'm sorry. Because nothing I've said means a thing to you. But if you're a sinner like I am, I hope and pray that this message of the blood of Jesus Christ changes the very way that you look at His hands. Instead of asking, can I see the blessing, that we would ask, can I see Your hands? Can I see Your hands one more time? I just want to look at Your hands. I want to see the print. And what Jesus said, I've asked a lot of remembering, haven't I? What He said to Thomas at the beginning of our service today. Thomas, you've seen. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet believe. Do you believe this morning? Do you really believe? If so, you've shaken the hands. And if you shook His hand, did you notice the print there? And if you notice the print, do you know why that print was there? It's for you. It's for you. My child, it's for you. That He suffered and He bled and He died. Now I leave us with this question in closing. We know what He did for us. What will I do for Him? What will I give Him in exchange? I can't give Him anything to repay that debt. He's already paid that. But I can give Him my very life. I can give Him my desires. I can give Him those things in life that trouble me, that I'm struggling with, that I'm trying to fight my way through. I can give them to Jesus. You know, He can handle it. His shoulders are plenty wide enough. His hands are plenty strong enough. And His heart is more than big enough to handle, to take care of every struggle, every situation, every problem, every trial that we ever have to go through. So why would I struggle to do it myself when Jesus holds out those same hands and says, come here. Come to me. Come to me. Are you heavy laden about something? Are you burdened? Are you struggling? Are you trying to get by, and it seems like the harder you try, the behinder you get? He says, come here. Come to me. And I'll see you through.